Lord's blessing to all that are here today, from our first row all the way to our back row. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to be sharing this morning the word that I shared last Sunday. And no, that's not punishment for you that we're here because you weren't listening the first time. We didn't get it recorded, and I think it needs to be. So a few more things will be added. But Holy Spirit, let your divine energy flow this morning. Bless your word. May it be filled with the power of your spirit. Amen. The name of Jesus, we know that when that name was used by disciples that knew him as Lord, great and wonderful things took place. And it's wonderful that throughout the churches today, the name of Jesus is used. The only thing that makes me sad is in too many places, I think it's just a ritual. Are we in real contact with the meaning of that name? The early church was. To them, it was too new to be a ritual, but it was a sense of identity. Something had changed within them. You look at Peter as an example, and after, if you read the book of Acts, Peter's sermons, the boldness that he moved in, I mean, he laid it right out there. Jesus going to the cross, who was responsible for it, he rose from the dead, spoke the truth with no fear. This wasn't the same person that denied the Lord three times. What had changed? Inside, Jesus was now Peter's Lord. Remember he told Peter, he said, when you were young, you'd go where you want to go, but a time is coming when another shall lead you. That started on Pentecost. All the time that Peter was following Jesus, he was dedicated as a disciple, but he still had his own independent will. And as long as we have our independent will in control, we're going to be governed by fears, as Peter was. But when Jesus becomes Lord, our will is submissive to his will. Amen. There's a boldness that comes and an uncompromising attitude to the truth. The Holy Spirit working is something I think everyone as a believer welcomes. Who doesn't welcome a healing, a blessing? But it's a difference between the Holy Spirit doing good works and the Holy Spirit leading us into all truth. And what is that truth? Jesus is Lord. The Holy Spirit's role in our life is to internally lead us to the place where Jesus is Lord over our life. That we find some resistance to. That's a little more difficult. An example I like is when Peter was drowning. Remember, he was walking on water and he started to sink. Lord, save me. I think that's a prayer we probably at the end of our life will have used more than any other prayer. And that's certainly a good prayer to make when you're drowning. Look to God for help. But it's not the same prayer as saying, Lord, not only save me, but direct my life. Too often I think the prayer is, Lord, save me from my problems, but I'll take it over from there. Once I'm out of my problems, I've got a will, independent will. I've got an agenda. You just bless what I'm doing, where I'm going. The reality of the early church, the name of Jesus was Jesus Christ was Lord over their lives. And the blessing of that is when he is Lord, we find the peace and the joy that are in his nature become our experience. When he is Lord, our minds are able to be renewed and changed. When he's Lord, the new covenant leaps off the pages of the Bible and becomes a living reality. Grace, love, how the Father sees us. When he is Lord, we're able to look at ourselves as God sees us. Amen. And love ourselves and accept ourselves as God does. That is the goal. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to read about Peter and John. Acts 3, it says, one day at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Peter and John were on their way into the temple for a prayer meeting. At the same time, there was a man crippled from birth being carried up. Every day he was set down at the temple gate, the one named Beautiful, to beg from those going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter, with John at his side, looked him straight in the eye and said, look here. He looked up, expecting to get something from them. Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Then Peter grabbed him by the right hand and pulled him up. In an instant, his feet and ankles became firm. He jumped to his feet and walked. And he danced and he praised God, and this guy was running all over the place. Now, look at what took place. In the name of Jesus, healing happened. But Peter, it wasn't evident when he first spoke it. Peter actually grabbed this guy and yanked him up. And that says, then, in that instant, he was healed. Do you see the boldness that Peter was moving in?
Wow.
Something had changed internally in Peter. He knew the name of Jesus, what it meant. He knew, he looked at that guy and he knew that Jesus was going to heal him. That's why he yanked him up. There was no guesswork involved. As Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. The Lordship of Christ brings us that kind of reality where we can actually see what the heart of the Father is doing. And when we see it, we can follow it. We can step out in boldness to proclaim it and see things happen. Peter then goes on to say, because people are surprised at what's taking place, he goes, it's not our power that did this, but God has glorified his son Jesus. Everything God does is to bring glory to his son. That's the motivation. Faith in Jesus' name healed this man. We go on down. Peter had a congregation now around him. He says, O Israelites, why does this take you by such surprise? And he said, Father has glorified the Son. The very one that Pilate called innocent, you repudiated. Faith in Jesus' name put this man, whose condition you know so well, on his feet. Yes, faith and nothing but faith put this man healed and whole right before your eyes. Faith is a mysterious thing. We have a strong will and we want things to happen, and sometimes we mistake our own desires for faith. But faith is a gift from God. And when we've yielded to his lordship, that gift can just, it does more than shine. It explodes at times. It's not a matter of your mindset. It comes from your spirit. Peter said, now it's time to change your ways. This is verse 19. I'm reading from the New Message Bible, so it's going to be a little different than yours. Turn to face God so he can wipe away your sins. Pour out showers of blessing to refresh you and send you the Messiah he prepared for you, namely Jesus. Now, he's speaking to unbelievers to be saved, but again, I'm blessed by this because as the Spirit of God is moving, if we're yielding to the Holy Spirit, we're hearing this. Repent. What does repent mean? Not just wallowing in, oh, all the things I've done wrong. God, please don't punish me. No. Repentance is when we turn and face God. We face him. We become transparent before him. We do that in worship. That's a way we can live before him. And he says we can wipe away the sins with us. We know we've been forgiven our sins. They've been wiped away. But has the sin consciousness been wiped away? Do we still hear voices of condemnation and accusation? That needs to be wiped away. Showers of blessing. Lord, bring it on. Believers need that just as much as an unbeliever needs that in coming to the Lord. We need to be refreshed.
Sorry.
And he says, he'll send Jesus. How does he send Jesus to us as a believer? When we know him as Savior, he sends the reality to our spirit and lives that Jesus is Lord. When he visits our house, we not only thank him for salvation, but we welcome him in as the Lord of our house. And he says, and this is a beautiful verse, "For the time being, he must remain out of sight in heaven until everything is restored to order again, just the way God, through the preaching of his holy prophets of old, said it would be." When is Jesus coming back? Everything needs to be set in order. What needs to be set in order in the body? Do we have to be perfect in our flesh and our actions? I hope not. God made us human, right, imperfect. That's not the kind of perfection he's looking for. His son is the perfection he's looking for.
Amen.
Things being set in order is, instead of the human ego and will being in control, it's God's will being in control. Jesus is Lord is the order God's looking for. And when that's there, he can send his son back. So when's it going to happen? We don't need to be preoccupied with when. The what is, what are we allowing the Holy Spirit to do in our lives? The truth the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into is the Lordship of Christ. Okay. I mean, you turn another time, not right now, but in you read about the ones that were listening and not receiving the message. It says the Sadducees and priests were very upset about this message of Jesus being raised from the dead. Why did this upset them? Not about Jesus being a prophet, Jesus being a great teacher, but being raised from the dead. Resurrection life is all about his lordship. You see, they had their own kingdom set up. They could handle a prophet, a teacher. What they couldn't handle is the Son of God taking their place of authority. They weren't willing to be bondservants. So they're talking among themselves saying, how do we get rid of these guys? You know, things are happening. We can't, you know, obviously talk against the healing. Everybody wants a healing. So they went after the message of his lordship, of resurrection. John chapter 6 is a very difficult chapter to understand. You remember that's the chapter he spoke of. He was the bread of heaven. You must eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. You have no life in yourself. And if you read that, the multitudes left him. Because that is a chapter that was spoken, or a word that was spoken ahead of its time. That has to do with him being Lord, where he becomes our life. And this thing of lordship has to do with us being able to admit that we have no real life in ourselves.
Amen.
We think we do, but we don't. The real life is the life of the Son. His lordship means we accept his life to be manifest through us. As he said, every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and it is life-making. That comes from his life, the word of spirit. And that's what we were yearning for. What are you crying out for when you cry out for the spirit of the Lord? You say, I want to be in the presence of God. All week long I've been praying, God, just renew my mind, renew my mind. Another way to say it is, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to be the driver. We got this nice car, and we say yes to the spiritual journey. Get saved, and there's Jesus right next to you. Oh, good, I'm not alone. I'm not an orphan. I'm not abandoned. But who's driving the car still? Jesus won't yank the wheel away from you. You got to turn around and say, I'll let you drive. I don't know where you're going. Probably not where I'm heading. But I'll let you drive. I can remember when I was young, going back to like maybe 20 years old, and the spiritual journey was new, and everything was so alive and powerful. Everything was a straight line to me. You know, I looked ahead and saw A to B. This is what God's going to do. Remember when you were young and everything had to be, you colored inside the lines in black and white and everything straight? Anyone here's life turn out that way? Yeah, Fred? Oops, you don't have to listen to this part then. No, God's taken us ways we would never would have dreamed of. That's life. And then you say, well, if Jesus wasn't Lord and leading my life, it'd be different. It's the same for the unbeliever. Unbeliever, right? Nobody's life turns out the way they expect. We don't have control that we think we have. So why get lost in your independent will and be miserable? If you're going to get lost and be directed other than the way your selfish desires want to go, let it be the Lord's way. Amen. All right. So they told them, they said, you're not to use or teach the name of Jesus. And Peter and John's response to them is, well, should we listen to God or listen to you? We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. Again, that boldness. When he's Lord, there's no compromise. No prisoners taken. No room for plan B. They're looking at being, they were in jail, and they were looking at possibly losing their lives. But they said, you know, something's changed in us. We can't stop speaking this word. This is reality. Acts 4:29. Where am I here? Let's see. This is the prayer the disciples made. Listen carefully. Take care of their threats and give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message. As you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of your holy servant Jesus. Now, look carefully at the prayer they made. They are being threatened. Persecution is beginning. And their response is, they don't take a half hour saying, God, bring down these powers that are coming against us. You know, the churches are being established. We pray against this. We pray against that. No. They're not being driven by human frustration. They're not being controlled by futility. They say, God, take care of their threats. What does that mean? God, take care of their threats. Do whatever you want to them. That's not our focus. Our prayer is, give us boldness to speak your word. As you're healing and doing wonderful things. They weren't even focused on the signs and wonders. The healings were all a part of it. The miracles were a part of it. Their focus was, give us boldness and confidence to be true to your word. Amen. Another way of saying that is, Jesus is Lord. Verse 30. Well, we just read verse 30, but after that, it says, while they were praying, at verse 31, while they were praying, the place where they were meeting trembled and shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. The Holy Spirit manifested. How did the Spirit confirm it? Boldness to speak the word. That was the reality of the early church. Now, right after that, you read about the believers were united as one heart, one mind. They didn't even claim ownership of their own possessions. No one said, that's mine, you can't have it. They shared everything. The apostles gave powerful witness to the resurrection of the Master Jesus, and grace was on all of them. You see, when the word is given the right place and his lordship is coming through, the selfish nature breaks. They have one heart and one mind. They shared. Why did they do that? It wasn't some idea someone had. Let's try communal living. Again, we try to copy the patterns. The Holy Spirit broke the selfish attitude of what's mine. To where they looked out and they cared more about the needs of others. They were living the scripture Jesus spoke of in John when he said, "This one commandment I give you, love one another the way I've loved you." It was a change of nature that led to that type of sharing and living. I wonder what's going to happen to us, how we're going to fellowship together, how we're going to live our lives, the more this becomes a reality. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll finish with that. Where'd it go? In this chapter, you're very familiar with. It's about Jesus taking on the role of a servant. And this is so important. Because again, the Holy Spirit's job, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit leads us into the not just the truth of knowing, but the reality of experience of his lordship. And when Jesus is Lord, we're able to be servants, bondservants. We're able to live a life of humility and realize that that's the highest level of living. Now, people serve for all different reasons. Some people serve to be recognized, to be accepted. Some people serve because they're afraid if they don't, God's going to punish them. They look at God to have some kind of reward system in heaven, and the more they serve, the more points they build up. Some people serve because it's in their heart to do it. Amen. They realize that being a bondservant is letting Christ fully release through their life. Let's read chapter 2, starting with verse 1. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, becoming human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, the worst kind, crucifixion. Because of that obedience, God has lifted him high and honored him far beyond anything, anyone, or anything. So all created beings, heaven and earth, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ. Okay, a lot of verses here, but it captures the attitude of what a bondservant is. When you lay aside your privileges willingly to serve God and what he wants, then we're doing what Christ did. We're allowing Christ to live through us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. What happened when Jesus humbled himself? Upward pull. God exalted him. We all want the upward pull of the Spirit. A lot of times we're trying to pull the Spirit down. I don't know, you can look at it different ways. But the thing is, the way to rise in the Spirit, to be aware in the Spirit, to function in the Spirit, is to humble yourself and serve. Be his servant. Do it for the right reasons. And you lay down your life, you don't go underground. God lifts you up to the realm of heaven where he is. One more verse. Let me find it here. It's talking about God's energy. I think it's verse 13. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. When Jesus is Lord, we can be confident that God is working and willing in our lives. His will is being done in our lives, doing what gives him pleasure. Think about that. How do we please God? Have faith. Okay, what does that mean? Let him work in your life. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to what the Spirit wants. It's speaking to your heart, the way he's leading you. Because when you do that, God is smiling. He's happy. You're giving God pleasure. Ultimately, that's what we all want, to give our Heavenly Father pleasure.
Amen.
Amen.